Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is awesome. Our Father is good. He's a good God. He's an amazing Father. And we give Him all the glory and all the praise that He alone deserves tonight. I thank you wherever you are joining us from. And through whatever platform, thank you for being a part of our Bible study tonight. Glory to God. As always, I'm excited to dive right into the Word of God. And I'm excited to get everything that the Holy Spirit has prepared for us tonight. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I want us to bow our heads and dive right in so that we can cover a lot of ground before our time runs out on us again, as it usually does. The Lord is going to help us tonight. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. We bless you. We honor you. We give you the glory and the praise. We exalt your holy name, O God. Thank you for this awesome opportunity that you have given to all of us, all of my brothers and sisters and their loved ones, those that are joining us online in real time and those that will partake of these teachings afterwards. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you, Lord, for the presence of the mighty Holy Spirit who is already here with us tonight. Lord, we yield to you. We ask you to have your way. I ask God that you think through my mind, that you speak through my vocal cords. Give us understanding hearts, Lord. Cause there to be great illumination in our spirit. I thank you for it, Father. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And thank you so much again for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. We have been talking about for a few weeks now, a couple of weeks now, a series of teachings and lessons that we have captioned, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. How awesome, how glorious, how powerful. Amen. When you renovate your mind constantly, when you renovate your mind constantly on an ongoing basis, your life will be elevated. The key to going from glory to glory in your Christian walk, in our Christian walk, is that at each level of our lives, wherever we are, we commit to constantly renovating our minds. It's not a one-off thing. It's not something we do for 1 year after we give our lives to Christ, or we do sometimes early at the beginning of every year during a Daniel fast, or at certain seasons that we pick, and then we do other things later, and we just leave the mind to decay and to get corrupted. No, no, no. The process of renovating the mind, transforming the mind, has to be a constant, ongoing, daily process where we are constantly taking steps that we know are proven from the Word of God to work, to produce fruit. We take those steps every single day to renovate our minds. And we are going to get into those steps, possibly even maybe from next week's service. It's very likely, very possible, unless the Lord directs us in some different way, maybe to lay a little bit more foundation. But I'm really eager to begin to get into those steps, those practical things, practical ways in which we must renovate our minds. Let's go and read some of our scriptures. Isaiah chapter 55 and from verse 8, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. When God's word goes forth out of his mouth, it always prospers in the purpose that it has been given. When God's word is released, any word God releases, like, you know, the Lord told us in 2025, this is our year of God's shalom. Hallelujah. Whew. God's shalom. Jubilee. Breakthroughs and breakouts. Uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. And fresh oil. Oh, hallelujah. And we're experiencing it. We're seeing it. We're walking through it. It's a lived experience for a lot of us. I hope it is a lived experience for you as well. God's shalom is your covenant inheritance. Jesus said, my peace I now give unto you. My peace I bequeath to you. That's your covenant inheritance. And no matter what's going on around the world, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's going on in our immediate vicinity or in our local, in our cities, in our nations, God's shalom is a definite reality that we are experiencing. We have the peace of God that passes all human understanding. When we lie down, we have peace. When we rise up, we have peace. When we go out, we have peace. When we come in, we have peace. It's not because there is peace all around. No. It's because we have God's shalom. That's his promise. Now, when the Lord spoke that word, or spoke those words had to accomplish the things that God spoke in a soil that is fertile. There are no controversies about the power that is in the word of God. Amen. Like we have studied earlier on during some of the earlier teachings that we have done. When that sower went out to sow the word, the heart, the soil that was receiving the seed was really the only thing that was in question. The sower was sowing good seed. And when good seed falls on good ground, my friends, there will be productivity. When the word that God speaks finds good ground, there will be manifestations. God's shalom is manifesting in our lives because many of us committed our hearts to be good ground for the prophetic word of God. And that word can never return to God void. There has to be peace. It doesn't matter what the devil does. If he wants, he can walk on top of his head. He can crawl on his hands. He can flip, whatever how many times he wants to flip. Every moment, every second, every hour, every day. It doesn't really matter. God's shalom is mine. I have rest on every side. It doesn't matter what I see or what I feel. It doesn't matter what somebody says or what somebody does. God's shalom is mine. It's yours. That's when God's word goes out. It must accomplish. Now, when our thoughts become like God's thoughts, when our minds are renovated to think God's thoughts, to think like God thinks, our words will have that same amount of power to produce exactly the same way God's word produces. Remember, we are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. All of God's deposits, supernatural deposits, which the Bible calls the treasure of God, is deposited into our spirit being. When we gave our lives to Christ, at the very beginning, we became new. If you've heard this before and you've heard it over and over again, it's because it bears repetition. We became instantly renewed. Our spirits did. But our minds remain the same and our bodies remain the same. Our soul is the seat of our mind, our will, our intellect, our emotions. Our souls were never given to us to lead us, to direct the course of our lives. The only reason our soul will sometimes direct the course of our lives is because we have taken the authority and the leadership away from our spirit being. John, the Apostle John, said in 3 John, verse 2, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the prosperity of your soul will determine the prosperity of your life, the prosperity of every other area of our lives. Now, last week we made this statement. Glory to God. Made this statement. Your mind is the greatest limitation in your life, and it is the only thing holding you back from your promised land. And I added to it, I expanded it a little bit, and we said the greatest limitation in every life is the mind. And the greatest potential for growth, well-being, and success in every life is also the mind. We read the stories of the children of Israel in Psalm 78, who limited God. The Bible says they limited the Holy One of Israel. God couldn't do much. He couldn't do what he wanted to do in their lives because they limited him in their minds. But at the same time, we also read the story of the Tower of Babel. The people at the early beginning who wanted to build a tower to get to heaven. And they simply started with the imaginations in the mind. Imaginations happen in the mind. And what they began to do actually started to succeed. And God said, wow, look what they have begun to do, what they have imagined, what they have begun to do, look at what they are doing. And now, nothing they have imagined will be held back from them. The mind is the seat of our imagination. The mind is the seat of our decision maker. The mind is the seat of our will, our emotions. The mind has a major influence on the direction of our lives. If you can change your mind, you can change your destiny. Do you know from the very beginning of our walk with God, the reason we were able to come into Christ is because we changed our minds. We repented. The word repent means to change your mind. When we repented, we changed our minds. We said about sin, that's sin, and I don't want sin anymore. I want to be a child of God. We changed our minds, and we turned our lives over to Christ. That's how we got started. And how are we going to go all the way and achieve every goal for our destiny that God has given to us? We must keep changing the mind. There are influences from our childhood. We've said this before. We're saying it again tonight. Influences over the years and influences from how we were raised and the things we were told. You know, some of the things we were told when we were growing up may have sounded like godly. Like they may have sounded like godly, like a reflection of the word of God. But if they were not based on the word of God, no matter how close they sounded, to the Word of God, we need to renew our minds from that. We need to renew our minds from that. Sometimes when children are growing up, parents, out of their frustration, will say to the children, you will never amount to anything good. You will never amount to anything good. And a lot of times, even when those children give their life to Christ and when they become adults, they struggle with those words and those influences. And many times it's difficult for them to actually make something useful out of their lives unless they renovate their minds by the Word of God. In the same way, sometimes parents teach their children principles that sound really good and exciting, but are not necessarily founded in the Word. They may say, you may find a parent saying to their children, you will be number one. You will always be number one. You will always be number one. And being number one is a blessing. The Bible says we are the head and not the tail. But if that is not received in the spirit of the gospel and in the spirit of the Word of God, there are times that God may want us to humble ourselves and take a step back and be led by other people. But we will struggle. We will struggle with following. We will struggle with yielding. Because intrinsically in our minds, we have been trained to think, if we are not number one, we are not successful. It is not true. It is not true. Esau was number one. Esau was born first. But Jacob was the one who ended up with the blessing. So there are so many things that people are raised up to believe. Like sometimes people say, you know, you have to be this or you have to be that. We say that to children. You have to be this or you have to. It's when you are like this, that's how you will prosper in life. Or it's if you have this professional qualification, that's how you prosper. If you follow this particular career course, career line, that's how you prosper in life. And it is true that, you know, if we are pursuing the career lines and the things that we were destined to pursue, we will be blessed and we'll prosper and God would help us accomplish our destiny. But sometimes people are pursuing things they were never created to pursue because somebody tried to make them. Have you seen people in the ministry trying to do certain things in the ministry that they were never graced to do? But they are trying to do it because they feel like they will be a failure if they can't do that. No, all of us are graced to do something or the other in the kingdom of God. But we are not all graced to do the same thing. Hallelujah. We must constantly, every day, renovate our minds to think like God thinks. We must always remember God has a thought regarding everything that we're trying to do in our lives. Glory to God. I want to, you know, I didn't get to this statement last week when I was making that quote that I just read. The greatest limitation in every life is the mind, and the greatest potential for growth, well-being, and success in every life is also the mind. Do you know you can change anything? And then I want to say this for the benefit of those of us that may be connected with people who are trying to make changes in their lives. Or there may even be somebody tonight listening to me who is trying so desperately to make some changes in their lives. You can change anything in your life if you can change your mind regarding that thing. You can change anything in your life if you can change your mind regarding that thing. It all begins from the mind. The greatest battlefield is the mind. If a battle is won in the mind, it's won in our lives. Glory be to God. Remember that woman with the issue of blood? She kept saying, If I can touch the hem of his garment, if I can touch the hem, I will be made whole. If I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. If I can touch the hem, where was she saying that? In her mind. She was saying it in her mind. And when she got the opportunity, she touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. She was made whole. There are countless stories in the New Testament. Remember that centurion? Who came to the Lord, wanted the Lord to heal his servant who was at home. The Lord was so impressed. He said, I'll come. He said, no, you don't have to come. Just send the word. Where did he make that decision? In his mind. Lord, just send the word. If you send the word, my servant will be made whole. You can change anything in your life if you can change your mind regarding that thing. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, as he thinketh in his mind, so is he. As she thinketh in her mind, so you are who you think you are. When you think possibility, you will have possibility. When you think open door, you will have open door. When you think promotion, you will have promotion. When you think increase, you will have increase. When you think the endorsement and approval of God, you will have the endorsement and the approval of God. It is so important. It is through the conditioning of the mind that things that are available to us in our spirit beings also become manifested in our spirit lives. I want us to move on tonight. I know our time really goes. I want us to go back to one of the scriptures that we were on a couple of weeks ago in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. This is where I wanted to close out last week, but I couldn't get there. I'm very conscious to not get carried away again tonight. I want to touch on some things. I trust the Holy Spirit is going to help us, and He will help us finish well, finish in good time too. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Remember that scripture we read it 2 weeks ago. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. It says, the Lord, let's read this from the Amplified. For God did not give to us. Well, let's read it from the King James first. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Amplified says, that is why I would remind you in verse 6 to stir up the gift of God. And then in verse 7 it says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of calm and well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. We have the spirit of a sound mind. That in principle, God has given to us the spirit of a sound mind. What is our responsibility is to take that sound mind. If God gives us the spirit of a sound mind, but we don't take that sound mind, then our minds will still not be sound. Our minds will still not be renovated. Our thoughts will still not be his thoughts. Our ways will still not be his ways. So when God gives us, we must take. What we are learning over these several weeks in this series of teachings, renovate your mind, elevate your life. What we are learning is how to take the sound mind that God has given to us. How to take it? We take it through renovating our minds. We take it through being renewed in the spirit of our minds. The number of things the Amplified Bible lists there, God has not given to us a spirit of timidity. He has not given us a spirit of cowardice, of fear, cringing and fawning fear, but he has given to us a spirit of power. He has given to us a spirit of love. He has given to us a spirit of a calm, well-balanced, and soundness of mind. When God gives us a sound mind, it is our job to take it. If we don't take the sound mind of Christ and superimpose it on our natural minds, then our natural minds will remain in control. Hallelujah. Look at some of the, I've tried to do a list, and I want you to, you look in your life and you add to this list. I wanted to expand the thought a little bit. You know, when someone is sick and they go to the doctor will order tests to find out the root of the sickness. If there's headache, constant headache, and you know, you self-medicate and you use painkillers and you find it keeps coming back, well, then you have to find out what the root of that sickness is. So we go to the hospital, they run some tests to discover what is the root. Because if they don't discover the root, we will keep treating leaves, we will keep treating the branch, and the disease and the sickness will stay inside the life, inside the root of that person. So we want to find out what's the root. Well, sometimes though, the symptoms can help indicate the well-being of the root. Sometimes the symptoms can help indicate, can show whether or not there is health there. So sometimes they'll check our temperatures, check our vital signs, our blood pressure, our pulse, our heartbeat, some of these things. Right? And in taking those things in the hospital, that immediately tells the medical professional that, okay, well, that seems to be fine. All seems to be well over there. Let's look in other places. But if they take those immediate vital signs and the temperature is shooting up and the blood pressure is either all the way down, all the way up, or some of these other signs, then it is immediately clear that we have a very serious matter that we need to deal with. Well, the Bible says God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but he has given to us a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a spirit of a sound mind. When the mind is sound, there are some things that are not resident in that mind. When the mind is sound, the Bible already tells us some of those things, fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. When the mind is sound, fear is not resident in our lives. So, when fear is resident in a life and somebody is perpetually afraid and perpetually fearful, it is indicative that mind is not sound. There's something going on there. See, when the Lord said, this is a year of God's shalom, God's peace is ours. But if that peace is not resident in our mind, if instead of peace there's chaos, there's worry, there's anxiety, then our minds are not sound. A sound mind is needed to receive the promises of God and manifest those promises. A sound mind, soundness of mind is needed, is required to receive the promises of God and manifest those promises. When there's fear, that mind is not sound. When there's worry, that mind is not sound. Look at some of the other things I've listed. I want you to look in your life, because in every one of our lives, there are different things that Satan tries to bring in from time to time. And when he catches us at times when we are vulnerable and when we are not thinking the thoughts of God and we are not actively renovating our minds, those thoughts will take hold. And when those thoughts take hold and when they take root in our minds, they begin to affect the trajectory of our lives. It is absolutely important that we recognize, where is this thought coming from? Is this thought of God? This thing I'm feeling in my mind, this thing I'm conscious about, and is that the thought of God? Is that thought from God? Or is Satan trying to implant something in my mind to derail my destiny, to affect my ability to advance in my life? Where is this thought coming from? So if there's fear, there's worry, there's anxiety, we know immediately those are not from God. That mind is not sound. Panic attacks, these are symptoms of a mind that is not sound. Panic attacks, insecurities, always trying to take care of things by yourself, always trying to take care of yourself, failure to trust God, inability to rest in God, shows a lack of soundness of mind. Cowardice, unbelief, distrust, a propensity to distrust God and a propensity to distrust people reveals and reflects a mind that is not sound. Care burdened. When you are overwhelmed, you are burdened down by the cares of this life. Care burdened. How do we do this? How do we go there? How do we make that? How do we, when you are care burdened, it shows your mind is not sound. We need a lot of serious work to renovate that mind. Double-mindedness. When people are double-minded, it shows their minds are not sound. You can see even the way it sounds. And in James chapter 1, the Bible says a man who is double-minded, a woman who is double-minded, can never receive anything from the Lord. Double-mindedness. See, even the sound of it, the sound of it is jarring. Double-mindedness. Means you can't commit in one direction. You want to do this and you want to do that. And they are contrary. You want to go forward, but you are not sure. You want to step back. You want to stay. You want to wait. You want double-mindedness. You want to believe God, but then you don't know if I believe God. I don't want to be disappointed. So I don't know. I think I'm just going to do this other way that doesn't require me to believe God. But yet you are still praying, God, please, I'm trusting you to do it. I believe you to take care of this matter. I trust you. And my confidence is in you. But while you are praying that, you are working on things that are not necessarily in line with the will of God for you. Things that disrupt your peace, because they give you a measure of assurance in your mind that, well, if you do that, you have done something. And yet that thing you have done is contrary to what you are asking God for. Double-mindedness, doubt. When people have a propensity to doubt and it's hard to believe, it's evidence, symptom of a mind that is not sound. Discouragement. When discouragement comes and settles and sits, some people are perpetually discouraged. Perpetually discouraged, always hanging their heads down. That shows the mind is not sound. When you have soundness of mind, discouragement can try to come at you, but you stop it at the gate. You rebuff it, you stop it. Despair, despondency. These are all evidences of a mind that is not sound. Hopelessness, depression, stubbornness, selfishness, lust, greed, strife, jealousy, envy, pride, self-centeredness, self-preservation. self-centeredness. These are all symptomatic of a mind that is not sound. Well, I want you and I to build that list. I want you in your life to build that list. You know your story better than anyone. What are some of the things that have shown up in your own life that are evidence of a lack of soundness of mind? You have to be honest with yourself now. What are some of the things that you are dealing with even right now, today, that are evidence of a lack of soundness of mind? Why is it important that we recognize this? Because if we don't recognize this, then we will not commit to renovating our minds in those areas. If somebody generally struggles with trust, whether it's trusting God or trusting people, if they generally struggle with believing for the best, if they generally struggle with having the assurance of faith, if they generally struggle with fear and worry, anxiety, well, it is important that we recognize it, because if we don't recognize that, then we will not commit aggressively to renovating our minds in those areas. You have to, in every area of our lives. Remember somewhere, one of our first two services, I was sharing and talking about the parable of the sower. And one of the things that the Lord, I learned several years ago from that parable of the sower, the measure of receptivity that our minds have to the things of the Holy Spirit will determine the productivity that our physical lives will experience. Now, you know, in some areas, you may be doing very well. The mind may be very sound. Maybe when it comes to having confidence in pursuing some of your goals and objectives in life, your mind may be very sound. Or maybe when it comes to pursuing your calling as a minister of the gospel, your mind may be very sound. But when it comes to having a healthy relationship with other human beings, especially healthy, intimate relationship, like in a family, like in a marriage, like in just siblings, or like parents and child, and child and parents and things like that, intimate relationships, or relationships at work, professional relationships at work, between co-workers or between subordinate and overseer, mentor or leader or manager or supervisor or whatever. If there is no soundness of mind in those regards, then you will not be able to enjoy the blessings of God in those areas of your life. You may say, well, I have a great ministry. I'm doing very well in my relationship with God. That's good. But if your mind has not been renovated in the area of relationships with human beings, then you will never have the best of God until you renovate that mind. It is through conditioning the mind that the things that are available to us in our spirit beings also become manifested in our spiritual life. A sound mind embraces godly wisdom from above and rejects satanic and worldly wisdom. The Bible tells us that. Now, look at all these things we've just listed that are symptomatic or symptoms of a mind that is not sound. Right? You can go over your list and build your own list as well. Add to that. And there might be things that I've mentioned, we have mentioned here tonight, that have nothing to do with you. But there are some things, there are definitely some things that the Lord is calling your attention to tonight, where you need to renovate your mind in those areas. You found out over time there are pitfalls in those areas. You struggle a lot in those areas. You constantly have to pick yourself up because you are constantly saying, Lord, I'm sorry I thought that. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I acted like that. You are constantly struggling because in that area of your life, your mind has not been renovated. Well, it's time to renovate our minds. I like this story. I'm going to try to want us to read that scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, 23. And one other scripture I just want to bring home just before we close out tonight. Glory to God. I think we're making good time. The Lord has helped us when we started out this service tonight. I was talking about the promise of God to have peace. And I just want to use an example as we're studying these things and as we're talking about some of these things as the Holy Spirit is leading us. And I want to use that, even that example of peace, peace of mind, the peace that passes all human understanding, and how the mind can become renovated to receive that peace so that that peace becomes manifest and it becomes a lived reality in our lives. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I want us to read a psalm real quickly. It's the Psalms, the 42nd Psalm. It's very fascinating to see how the mind behaves. How the mind behaves and how we can address our minds and how we can determine a new direction for our minds. And we can, in this case, this psalmist was actually speaking to his soul, speaking to his mind, and telling his mind, no, don't do that. Don't think like that. And it's one of the ways in which we take a mind that is unspiritual, a mind that is not sound, a mind that is not strong, a mind that is not renovated, and we begin to take it in the direction of renovating it. When you see fear there and worry and anxiety, to be able to speak to your mind and say, calm down, relax, and then have the word of God ready that assures you that there is no need to fear. No matter what is going on in that mind, to speak to it. And yet we see in this psalm that even though the psalmist did that, and gave good, sound, godly reasons why he was doing that, yet he had to keep doing it again. Because it was not a one-time thing. Let's read it real quick. Psalm 42. Glory to God. Psalm 42. Let's read Psalm 42. Let's read from verse 4 to 8. And then let's read verse 11. Psalm 42 from verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept the holy day. So he went to church. He went to the house of God. He went to worship. He went to fellowship. And he went with joy with the multitude. He went with joy with other believers. But when he left there, his mind reverted to his default condition. Look at the next verse in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, O my mind? Why are you disquieted within me? There's worry. There's anxiety. There was hopelessness. He says, hope in God. Hope thou in God. Come on, hope thou. He's speaking to his soul. He's speaking to his mind. He's hoping God. That is, hopelessness was there, but we have to replace hopelessness with hope. And he's giving him reasons. He's giving him substantial scriptural reasons. Evidence for why it is right to be hopeful in God. And it is not right to be hopeless. He's speaking to his mind. He said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He has helped me before. Hallelujah. He has helped us before. When we remember the things that the Lord has done in all of our lives, should we really be worried about anything? When we remember how he saved us, when we remember how he brought our feet out of the miry clay and set them on the rock to stay, when we remember how he put our lives together, when we had no direction, when we were serving ourselves in yoke, under yokes and bondages, how the Lord came and rescued us and gave us joy, the joy of salvation. When you remember these things, it is sufficient assurance to remind us the Lord who did it before, he'll do it again. There's no need to be hopeless. There's no reason to worry. Why are you afraid? There's no reason to be afraid. The Lord has kept you. The Lord has helped you before. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. He says, why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Harmonites, from the hill Magog. I will remember the things that you have done, so that fear and worry and anxiety can be pushed out of my soul at this moment, and hope can return. Confidence in the word of God and in his promises can return. Assurance of a great future, regardless of what I'm seeing around me right now, regardless of what I'm feeling right now, can return. He's speaking to his mind. You see where he said, oh my soul, he's speaking to his soul. You see, there are many of those kind of psalms. In some psalms, David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's telling his mind what to do. Sometimes the mind just wants to complain. The mind wants to pick on negative things. He wants to focus on things that have not worked. He wants to focus on prayers that have not yet been answered. David said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Glory to God. He's speaking to his soul. You go all the way down to verse 7. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of the waters of thy waterspout. All thy waves and all thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Glory to God. He assured his mind. He assured his soul. And I believe his soul responded positively. But it wasn't long after that, back in verse 11, he had to do it again. Verse 11, why are you cast down? And if you read the two verses before verse 11, he's gone back again to focusing on the things that were not working. His bones, look at it in verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is your God? Now he's focusing on the wrong thing. And because he's focusing on the wrong thing, his mind has gone right back to the hopeless state in which he was. So what does he have to do? He has to do it again. We have to do it again and again and again and again until our minds become renovated in those areas of our lives. I'm getting ready to close tonight. We have to do it again and again and again and again until our minds become renovated in those areas of our lives. We do it again and again. No excuses. We do it again and again and again. Whether it's fear, worry, anxiety, insecurities, unbelief, distrust, cares, double-mindedness, discouragement, hopelessness, depression, stubbornness, greed, loss, strife, jealousy. You do it again and again. You speak to your mind again and again, using the word of God, using the promises of the word of God. You speak to your mind again and again and again. And as long as you need to do it, you keep doing it. You keep doing it until your mind becomes renovated in that area. Where, for instance, you used to struggle in your mind with distrust, you will find over a period of time when you have been consistently renovating your mind in the area of trusting God, in the area of trusting people, you suddenly find distrust loses its shackle over your mind, and now you can trust God. And the Bible says, they that trust in God, they will be like Mount Zion. They can never be removed forever. Hallelujah. We renovate that mind. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, we read this a couple of weeks ago before we had to leave. Hallelujah. It's time to renovate our minds with the word of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, it says, now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. I can't get to my scripture tonight that I wanted, the example I wanted to give on God's shalom, God's peace, and how we take that peace and we superimpose it on whatever is going on in our minds. We make that peace, we yield ourselves until that peace builds a garrison around our minds. And that peace becomes a bulwark, becomes a place of shelter. And we do it again and again and again and again until we have rest. Until our minds are renovated regarding the promise of God. And we have rest. No matter what is going on around, we have rest. Because our minds have been renovated by the word of God. Father, we thank you so much tonight. We bless you for your holy word. We thank you for helping us. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for being here with us. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Let these words continue to walk, reverberate in our spirit. Establish that which you have begun to do. We thank you, Father. We honor you. We lift you up. We adore you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Before we close out, it's 52 minutes. I have just a couple of minutes to go here. Let's take this confession together. Say with me, I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time, with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I'm sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. We're out of time, saints. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Glory to God. What a wonderful time. Looking forward to seeing you again same time next week. Invite someone to join us on this Bible study. Somebody's life can be changed. Somebody needs these messages, these teachings that we're receiving. And the Holy Spirit is here to give it to all of us. God bless you. Good night.